It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll take a look at why gas prices keep falling and how low they might go.
First, chances are, if you live in Wisconsin, you've clocked some happy time in the summer along Lakes Michigan or Superior, but the Great Lakes in wintertime can be a tougher sell.
But our next guest says if you skip the Great Lakes in the winter months, you're missing out. She's here to tell us about recent ice volcanoes on Lake Michigan and other ice features to look for when you're exploring the Great Lakes in wintertime.
Carolyn Rock joins us now. She's a natural resource educator at Whitefish Dunes State Park in Door County. She's the 2014 recipient of the Wisconsin State Historical Society's Preservationist of the Year Award. Carolyn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, most of us associate summertime with the Great Lakes. Now, you work along the shores of Lake Michigan in Door County. Why is it worth our time to check out Lake Michigan in the winter?
There's always changing. It's always unique. You can have the ice build up. Although right now we have no ice build up on the Great Lake. I'm looking out over Lake Michigan at Whitefish Bay right now, and we have a little bit of ice formation along the shorelines, but it's melting fast. But you never know from week to week. From month to month, the ice builds up, the ice creates different formations, and it disappears, and it's always ever-changing. And that's part of the uniqueness of coming to the shoreline in wintertime.
And I suppose the climate we're having this week kind of puts you in this awkward in-between phase. It's not warm enough to enjoy the summer activities. It's not cold enough to see some of those ice formations that we're so excited to talk about today.
Yeah. It is, and we're hoping for a little bit of snow coming through and maybe some colder temperatures to make those formations happen.
Mm-hmm. So the ice volcanoes just made news last week, though, before the meltdown a bit. What can you tell us about what they are?
Well, they're quite unique in the sense that...
Carolyn, are you there? Oh, I think we have lost Carolyn.
I think I'll have to try her back. And I know Carolyn is going to talk about...
She's really a master of the hook, leaving us with a cliffhanger.
She has some wonderful stuff to talk about. She sent us some beautiful pictures that will be up on the Central Time Facebook page a little later, and some ice circles, which are posted there right now. Now, have you ever heard of ice circles, Cynthia?
No, I haven't.
I hadn't either. So there's these little sort of bobbing circles of ice on the water, almost like you could leapfrog among them.
Okay. I had pictured the opposite, more like ice holes. You know, I was picturing something that would have broken out of the sheets of ice rather than something that's floating. But we will also have a video of some of these things as well. And you might have seen them floating around Facebook from the Wisconsin DNR, putting out videos from the ice volcanoes that had erupted, so to speak, last week. If you might have seen any, give us a call. Let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you like to get out on the Great Lakes in the wintertime? And if so, what do you do? What are some of the things that you be sure to see? Did you happen to see the ice caves last year up at Lake Superior?
Those were a huge draw. And our story, Patty Murray's story, in fact, about ice volcanoes was one of the top read stories on the mm-hmm. WPR website last week. So we're here to tell you more. And I think that Carolyn is back with us now. Carolyn, are you there?
Phone calls about ice volcanoes this week, so yet another one coming in, so it's this formation of the waves coming in underneath this ice sheet, pushing up underneath that air pressure, and it creates a cone either on the leading edge of the ice sheet or underneath in the kind of a center section, and the spray just keeps on forming this cone around and makes it higher and higher, and sometimes you can get them up to 30 feet high. Lake Superior actually sees 30-foot cones on the south shore. We don't get them quite that large here on Lake Michigan. Sometimes they appear and disappear within a day.
Do they come around every year? Why is it this the first that most of us are hearing of it this year?
Yeah, they do appear every year. I guess I've never known them to be called ice volcanoes. I just call them ice blows or blow mm-hmm. kind of, 'cause they remind me of a blowhole, and that's really what the physics of them, that's really how it is. It's just a blowhole made out of ice instead of stone, and it's the same formation. But we've had them along Lake Michigan shoreline for the 16 years that I've been working here at the park, and they appear and they disappear, but it's really weather dependent. You need to have the strong onshore waves, so you have a strong wind coming toward the shoreline. You need to have that ice shelf that builds out. You need to have where the air temperature is below freezing, quite a bit. They say at least 10 degrees below freezing, if not more. And you need to have moving water. You need to have that water moving underneath the ice sheet, and that's what causes the spray to come up and create these formations.
And another thing that you've written about and you've taken pictures of, and there's a picture up right now on the Central Time Facebook page, is ice circles. I'd never heard of these before, but they were really kind of cool to see. Tell us about ice circles.
Oh, yeah, those are quite neat. I mean, even back in 1965, Edward Marshall from Ann Arbor, Michigan University actually did some studies on these, what they call pancake ice. And when ice is forming on a kind of a calm day, the ice is moving around in a kind of a light air movement or wind movement or water movement, the ice is forming on top of the lake, and they start making these circular patterns. They keep on bumping up against each other, and they'll be formed rounded. And the longer the ice forms and the more steady of that air current or the wind action, the larger the ice formations. The ice pancakes you can make, or sometimes they call them ice lily pads, is what we've seen. I think there's one picture that I had where it's like a 6-inch, thickness of that ice pancake, and that was really cool to see those. Those lasted quite a number of days to see that in action.
Oh, so they last a couple of days. I was thinking they might sort of merge into one block of ice overnight or something like that.
They can, and that's the uniqueness of and the ever-changing factor of the Great Lakes system. I mean, you can have one day where you come and you're like, oh, the icicles are here, or we've got the ice volcanoes going on, and then you know everyone shows up the next day and they're like, it's dead calm, or it's big waves are crashing, and your icicles are now up on shore and crumpled up and forming icicles, or building what they call ice fleet or ice foot, which is actually just the ice shelf. There's actually terminology for some of these things that we would never have thought of to name, but it's called an ice foot. Is that ice cliff or ice shelf along the shoreline? It's called an ice foot.
Well, this sounds like prime opportunity for photographers who want to go out there and get some unique shots of Wisconsin's winter landscapes. But how would you recommend that we do so in a safe way, especially when you're working with icy conditions? It can be quite slippery out there.
Well, number one thing is, always think of these ice shelves as being over water, as you never know how thick this they are. And the depth of the thickness can vary within, a couple of inches to a couple of feet. But it can change overnight, and it can change within the spots you are along the shoreline, because there's wave action, there's water underneath there. And so what we always tell people, look from a distance, always go with a friend, let people know where you are, wear warm clothing, wear ice grips on the bottom of your shoes, take a walking stick with a pole or a ski pole with a point on it to give yourself some depth, and to poke. Those are good for pokers to see what's the depth of, can that ice hold me? And when in doubt, don't go out. It's easier to look at a distance and have someone else take that, or something else take that picture or save that picture from memory internally versus having to be rescued from the water. And as I like to say, hypothermia is not something you want to play with. It is very deadly, and we can lose a lot of people. We want to make sure that folks are safe when they go down the ice shelves. So just be careful.
Carolyn, before we let you go, you've been at Whitefish Dunes State Park for more than a decade. What's the most spectacular thing you've seen along Lake Michigan in the winter?
We had 4-foot waves one December weekend, and the ice went from, there was no ice on the shoreline, to ice bluffs there were bluffs. They were almost a half a story in height. That was really spectacular to see. You can go back every hour, coming to the window, and it was crazy out there. It was windy, it was icy, it was blowing. Horrible weathers to stand out in, too, but as you saw the ice formations just build and build and build and build, and then the next morning everything was dead calm, and it was like, that you have these immense ice structures, and there was blue ice and kind of brown and green, and with the sand mixed in there and the cladophora, it was just really amazing to see. It just spectacular within a day have it appear. That was cool. That was cool to see. But then within 2 days it was all gone.
Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us to tell us about these wonderful things to check out along Lake Michigan in the winter.
Well, thank you for having me.
Carolyn Rock is a natural resource educator at Whitefish Dunes State Park. She's the 2014 recipient of the Wisconsin State Historical Society's Preservationist of the Year Award.
And by the way, we've got a slideshow that we're working on of some of Carolyn's photos from the winter along Lake Michigan that we'll be posting later on the Central Time website.